Welcome, welcome, everyone. I'd love to just start tonight by welcoming everyone to tonight's CCL Leadership Call. We are going to have a wonderful update for you on Calling Congress for a Price on Carbon webinar. Thank you so much for joining us. We know that last week, President Biden released a framework for the budget, and Majority Leader Schumer is giving senators 1 week to make adjustments, including consideration of a carbon fee with a rebate. So tonight, we're holding this special meeting for all of CCL leadership to talk about this, hopefully last push, to call the Senate and ask for a carbon price and reconciliation. But without further ado, I am going to pass it over to CCL's President, Madeline Pera, for opening remarks. Madeline, the floor is yours.
Okay. Thank you, Brett. And welcome, everybody. You know, whether you feel this way or not, you are individually and collectively the heart and soul of CCL. You're our not-so-secret sauce. And I just want to take a moment to savor you. Thanks so much for being here. Last night, an old friend who's a group leader called me. I found myself telling him how much I did not want to be asking you all to be doing anything more, because we have asked and asked, and you have delivered so much, and it just doesn't seem reasonable to keep asking. But we aren't living in reasonable times, and like my group leader friend, you keep digging deep. Since August, through our various campaigns, you have orchestrated 153,643 contacts as of this morning to Congress and to the president. You continue bringing in new resolutions and endorsements for carbon pricing this week, and together you reached the goal of 20,000 people contacting President Biden last month. So I really do wish we weren't asking more. But on Friday, as Senator Schumer gave the Senate a deadline of a week to get their framework done, and CCL staff realized that we're likely to be moving into what is probably the final critical period, our staff began discussing whether you would want to wait this out because you're tired, or would you want to be given the chance to again declare what you want Congress to do? And as soon as we asked ourselves that, the answer was so obvious. All of us, volunteers and staff, are in CCL because we want to know we did all we could to secure a better future. So my friend last night also told me he feels guilty sometimes for not doing more. And that pains me so much because I know how much he's given CCL. I would love it if we could all give up the guilt and just keep thinking and acting as smartly as we can. And remember that we're not alone. In fact, maybe you can just look around in gallery view or in the chat and just notice that you're not alone. Okay, so tonight we have Jen Tyler from our government affairs team to give you the latest on what's happening in DC. Tony Cerna, our strategy director, will go over the calling campaign details, and there'll be time for questions, as Brett said, through poll EB after each one of them speaks. And then Mark Reynolds, our executive director, will close with a few thoughts. So Jen, you're up.
Thanks, Madeline. And thanks everyone for being here. It's really been a long, hard-fought process. But like Madeline said, we are definitely nearing the end. So Congress, all the signs have shown that we are getting there, or anywhere from a day, 2 days out from a potential House vote to a week, 2 weeks. So still no definitive timeline. But what is definitive is that we are getting much closer to a final product and confirmation of what's in and what out, what's in and what's out. So the most important thing right now is to keep doing what you guys have been doing. The only reason a carbon price has stayed in the legislative landscape for this long has remained a top priority for Chairman Wyden and other key senators is because of work from you all. It's because of all the phone calls you all have done. It's because of all the letters and emails and constant reaching out that CCL has done and all of you tremendous volunteers. So we need to keep doing that. This is our hopefully final window for output, for reaching out to our key senators and House members, and the calls do make an impact. I think that's the reason that we have some draft text in the Senate, and that's the only way we're gonna hopefully be able to push this across the finish line. So now's the time that we are making those calls and reaching out to the key senators, the Democrats in the House, and finally making that last call and doing what you all do best and what's gotten us this far in the process already, which in and of itself is a tremendous accomplishment. So let's talk about the updates of what's currently going on in Congress. there's been a flurry of action in the past week or so, and all of these things, the administration released a framework, the House dropped bill text, which is not final bill text, so it doesn't mean a ton, but they did drop bill text, and Leader Schumer put out there this deadline. He wants all of this to be resolved within a week. So all of these things together are showing us just how close to the finish line we're getting. Everyone's starting to move in their respective ways, and there's still a lot to be resolved, but we are getting much closer. The final things that need to happen, and we'll kind of take this back. I know we've been talking about this for a while, but the House needs to vote on the bipartisan infrastructure framework bill. And that is the bipartisan infrastructure bill that passed the Senate, overwhelmingly bipartisan, earlier this year. And if you all remember, the reason that's being held up is because progressives in the House did not want to vote on that infrastructure bill unless there was an agreement on the reconciliation bill. So we've had some progress in this past day and a half or so on that. Progressives are seemingly willing to vote for the infrastructure bill and vote for some House version of the Build Back Better plan, which is the reconciliation bill that we are hopeful to get a carbon price in. So the House needs to vote on the infrastructure framework and their version of the reconciliation bill. Those votes will likely happen in tandem, one right before the other, but they will go together. After the House does that, it is very likely the Senate will then take that bill up. So the infrastructure bill will go directly to the president because the Senate's already passed that, but the reconciliation bill will be sent to the Senate before it goes to the president. In that process, when the Build Back Better plan or the reconciliation bill passes the House and goes to the Senate, that's when the Senate is going to make those final tweaks. And that's what we're hearing from the key Senate champions, Wyden and a bunch of other senators, that's when the final kind of provisions are going to be, there's going to be a lot of last minute jockeying, and those internal negotiations are happening right now. That is when a potential carbon price would be added. That is when some of the other final provisions will be tweaked and finalized. So all eyes are still on the Senate. We might see a House vote as early as in the next couple of days, but we still have to see Senate action. So I'll just make everyone feel reassured. If something does happen in the House and there's a bill passed, regardless of what's in it or not, we still need to wait and see what the Senate's going to do. And that's why these calls are so important. We need to get through to the House, and we also need to get through to the Senate, because there's still a lot to be resolved. So all of that needs to happen, and then the final bill would be sent to the president's desk. So still a lot to be resolved. There's a lot of talk, I'll mention, of scoring and knowing what all of these provisions cost. And that's a huge question for the timeline. It's gonna take the Congressional Budget Office potentially a week to 2 weeks to score some of these provisions. So it's gonna take potentially some time to get folks like Manchin and some of the moderates on board to vote for it. They need a price tag in order to do that. So just stay as calm as you can. We're still on this roller coaster ride. It's going to take a little bit longer, but we'll use these last few days or few weeks to really make our voices heard one last time. A few other relevant items that I think are helpful in going into these calls are when the president released his framework late last week, CCL put out a statement on the framework, and the big motivating factor was, yes, applauding that there is some good climate policies in there, but it just doesn't go far enough, highlighting the fact that we need to get to that 50% emissions reduction. This is our one chance. It's a historic legislative opportunity, and it's not good enough to do, you know, the biggest historic climate spending package. The most important thing is that we get to 50%. So that was our statement on that. It went out to the Senate, it went out to the press, and really was there to motivate not only senators and House members to recognize that there's more that needs to be done, but really put a stamp out there of what we're looking for in that final package, namely a carbon price. I'll also flag that the Supreme Court is going to take up and review in the next session, so this would likely be next spring, a court case on Clean Air Act authority. So basically, is the EPA allowed to regulate emissions? That's kind of the larger question. And it's likely, because of the conservative leaning Supreme Court, that this case might limit the EPA's authority to regulate. So this is just another supporting argument for why a policy like a carbon price is important. If the EPA is not able to regulate as much as they have been, then all of the policy proposals or plans that are coming out of the administration, coming out of other places, that a component of getting to the 50% emissions reduction is going to come through regulating, is going to come through places like the EPA, that just won't be able to happen. Regulating is already a legally very fraught process, because a lot of regulations get caught up in the court, and this case could make that even more improbable. So just another supporting argument for a carbon price. And the last thing I'll mention that a lot of you were tremendously helpful in, our champions in the House, Representative Peters and Deutsch, led a carbon pricing letter that was submitted this week to House leadership. It was a great effort, last minute effort from a lot of our liaisons who reached out pretty quickly to House members, and we got a good showing on that letter. So just another sign of the support that we are able to generate, a quick turnaround time, and the impact that that does have. The last thing I will mention on a hopefully a lighter note is that reconciliation fatigue is real. And I say this for all of us, that we need to pace ourselves and try to do as much self-care as we can in this time, knowing how long this process has been. It's felt like years. But also to recognize that as you all are making calls to these Hill offices, as we're thinking about lobby days coming up and whether we're getting good responses or no responses from Hill offices, to just keep in mind Hill staff are as tired, if not more tired, than we are. Members are feeling, I'm sure, the same. So we just need to keep that in mind, that in a part of this process, don't take it personally if you're not getting the responses you want to get from Hill staff that you've known for a long time. It's a totally unprecedented time of just months and months of hard work that's been really draining. Similar feeling that I'm sure a lot of us on this call are feeling. So don't take it personally. Try to do as much self-care as you can, and remember that you're doing all you can. We're leaving it all on the field, and that's the best thing we can do. We've come so far as it is, and we're going to try to push this thing across the finish line. So I think we can open it up to questions.
Yeah. Thank you, Jen. That was so helpful. And we'll take questions out of the poll EV, and maybe it's not just me or us, but people in Congress who feel like this baby's taking a long time to get born.
So the first one, it looks like, yeah. So we've heard a number of comments come out of Manchin and Sinema's office in recent days. I don't think we have heard anything that definitively says they are going to block the bill. In fact, Sinema just today was a part of a negotiation on drug pricing in the final bill, and she came along with that and supported that. So I think Sinema is in a pretty good place. Manchin, he obviously has concerns about a price tag. Given how much of a priority this is for the Democratic Party, it's hard for me to imagine Manchin getting in the way of final passage, or the administration and the other Democrats letting Manchin get in the way of final passage. I think they're open to making as many changes as they can to get, you know, 51 people to vote for it. So I think that's very unlikely that it would prevent final passage, but I do think this could draw out the timeline further than we expect. That's a good question. So it was a good showing, but the offices, because of how this is, just goes to show how sensitive some of these negotiations are. There's so much.
Just going to jump in. The question is, can you tell us which members of Congress signed the Deutsch-Peters letter for people who can't see it? Sorry, Jen.
Apologies. No, thank you for that. Yes. So great question. It was a great showing, but it just goes to show how sensitive these negotiations are. The offices did decide to keep that letter private, so we don't have the final list of members who signed, just because of how sensitive these internal discussions are, but it was a great showing. And the majority of offices all had tremendous outreach from CCL volunteers and liaisons, which was so helpful. The next question is, Manchin said twice in the last 6 months that he is against a carbon price. Where is he now? So he has not made any other direct comments on it, other than one time a few weeks ago, he said it's not on the table right now, which didn't mean much of anything to anyone except for reporters who are not great at their jobs. But, you know, in conversations that we've heard he has had with Senate finance members, it's very clear that the door is still open. There's been no statement of support. There's been no statement of opposition. The majority of discussions his office is having right now is on the methane fee, because that was included in the House bill. And he does have some serious concerns with the methane fee. He has not relayed those same concerns for the carbon price. It doesn't mean they're not there. But as of now, we are hearing relatively openness from the office, nothing supportive and nothing opposing, still a lot to work out. The next question, is a carbon price or corporate pollution fee too large a change to be considered a final tweak to the reconciliation bill? Normally, I would say, you wouldn't see a huge policy like this being thrown in at the last minute. However, I think the reason this is a prime candidate for that is because there is this goal of a 15% emissions reduction. So part of the key tenet of this bill in the eyes of Nancy Pelosi and Schumer and Biden, everyone, is that we need to get to that number. We need to have a strong climate bill. So we saw the CEPP fall out, which was Biden's first plan to get those emissions down. That fell out because Manchin opposed it. Now we've got this methane fee that's under discussion. Is that going to be included? Is it not? What would it look like? How strong of a fee might that be? If the methane fee falls out, if it's a weak methane fee, if all the other climate policy included does not get us to where it needs to be, there's going to be senators and House members who have made that commitment to get to 50% that are going to have serious, serious concerns. So you might see those same statements that members are making to reserve their vote for the bill unless drug pricing gets in or Medicare expansion gets in. You might see those same statements being made for stronger climate policies, namely a carbon price. That is really what this hinges on. It is a huge priority for many members, and it might not be as public of a fight. There are a lot of senators who are willing to go to bat for this and push it through. So I definitely think it's a candidate for a final tweak, even though it would be a sizable policy. The next question, I gather the House reconciliation bill will be voted on, then sent to the Senate. Senate amends it, then what? Conference committee or back to the House to vote on the Senate version? A conference committee is a very lengthy, long process, so I do not think that will happen. It would most likely go right back to the House to vote on it. And at that point, given how public and how communicative I think the Senate will be with the House, it would likely be a pretty quick vote in the House up and down. I think that process would be pretty seamless once it passes the Senate. It would get pretty easy support in the House. I thought the Supreme Court already determined that EPA had regulatory authority for greenhouse gases. Why are they revisiting it again? In all honesty, I'm honest when I don't know the answer. I have no idea what the Supreme Court has already ruled on in terms of EPA regulatory authority. But this is one of the court cases that's just been slowly rising up within state courts and then federal courts and getting all the way up to the Supreme Court. So they've decided to take the case up, and we don't know exactly, you know, how it's going to go or what the specific arguments are going to be, but we'll get a better idea of that in the coming months as they get closer to the next session.
I think for now we have time for one more question, Jen. Thank you so much for all of the help and perspective. Is there one that you see here that you haven't spoken to yet that intrigues you the most?
Well, I see a general question on should we still be directing our volunteers to do phone banking and texting? Are we planning to keep it up? I'm sure there will be kind of more clarification going out on that, but absolutely, I think now is the time. Like I said in the beginning of my remarks, I left the Hill in June, and if you told me a carbon price would be in the headline of a New York Times article or being pushed by Chairman Wyden or one of the top climate policies being considered, I would have thought that's crazy. But the work of you all, the number of phone calls that have been made, the amount of public support that CCL has driven has really changed the game on that. So absolutely, we should be doing everything we can at these last stages to kind of get the word out there, reach out to Democratic House members, reach out to senators, and make our final push to get this included, because it's been so effective. All the calls, all the emails are so effective. So just keep it up and trust that your words, your work is really, really coming in handy and is moving the ball forward. As much as you might not see it in the press, it is definitely moving the needle. So just keep it up.
Thank you so much, Jen. We are so glad that you and Danny and Ben and the whole government affairs team is over there helping all of us through this. So remember, everybody, if you have more questions, we have the forums in community where you can post them. And also in just 2 days, Danny is going to do his second lobby training, and I'm sure he'll have more updates and there'll be more time for questions. So let's get to the details next of the calling campaign from Tony Cerna, our strategy director. Tony is the person who coordinated the effort from about a dozen staff over the weekend to put this campaign together for us. Okay, Tony.
Great, thank you, Madeline. And thank you everyone for being on this wild ride with reconciliation and for helping push Congress to include a carbon fee and dividend in the budget. So our goal right now with this campaign is to get hundreds of calls to Democratic senators and all House reps. We want them to know that the public wants more on climate than the framework has right now. That, you know, that we specifically want a carbon fee. And ideally we can create a sort of phones are ringing off the hook situation in key congressional offices. And so we sent an email and text message to CCL supporters on Monday, at least for those who opted into text messages, and with instructions on making those calls. And anyone can and should make a call, even if you've called or written before, you know, with the news, with the where we are in the process, you know, with the framework being released, it is okay to again voice your desire for a carbon price. And so if you have Democratic senators, make sure that you get on the line and call both of them. Once you've done calling your senators, call your House rep. If you don't have a Democratic senator, then you can go straight to calling your House rep at cclusa.org/house-call. And the best time to make calls is this week, but it's fine to keep going until everything is decided. I mean, we know how the Congress works. They set deadlines. Schumer said 1 week. It's probably going to take longer than 1 week. You know, we don't know exactly when this is going to be done, but this is the push right now. This is when they're making decisions. This is when we can make sure that the senators who are negotiating in favor of a carbon price, make sure that they know that there's a strong desire for this from the public. So let's talk about how you can generate a bunch of calls. First, I'm going to ask you, what do you think we can do to generate a lot of calls? What have you done that works? What could you do now? Put your answers in the chat. I'm going to give you some ideas at the same time, and then we'll come back and see what you've got in the chat. So first, I just want to say you can reach out to your roster with, you know, another call to action this week via email, phone, text message, whatever is your preferred way to reach your roster to mobilize action. We want you to encourage people to make their phone calls and then get three friends to call as well. You can post and share this campaign on social media, Facebook, Twitter, wherever you're active, Instagram. We want to see posts on there sharing this kind of action. Also, we've created a flyer with a QR code for tabling. That's available on Community, and it's sort of generic to this, and you can, you know, it's going to point people to cclusa.org/action. There's a QR code on it. People can use that in flyering, you know, print out, you know, a handful of them and, you know, get them out on the streets or wherever you're tabling. We've had folks in Virginia tabling today on election day when people coming out of the polls, you know, boom, show them a flyer, get them to, you know, call their senators and their, you know, members of Congress. Okay, now I want to just take a look at the chat real quick and see if there's some good ideas. It looks like it's been a flood. So people have been endorsing phone banking. You know, we have, it's good that someone, Tammy noted, we have Spanish language pages for all of these actions. You can email your friends and family and ask everyone to ask their friends and family. We did a calling hour with our group, having everyone call a member. Recruited 6 chapter members to call other chapter members, created a presentation with about 800 people participating. That's amazing. Ask people to email me when they've called so that I know they've done it. That's a great way to get, you know, to make sure that people are, you know, actually finish that task and get that done. Asking all of your relatives, this is great. So check out the chat for amazing ideas there. You all are so amazing, and there's so many different ways to get this done in every chapter. Is unique, and you are just doing a great job. So one, we also have a banner on Community where you can see how many calls have been made since November 1st. So far, we've had 1,748 calls. Now, it's not going to break it down by your chapter or your district. These are just totals for the country. These totals are going to be updated daily, so don't expect that, you know, don't make a call and come back and see if it goes up one. It's not how it works. You can also see the total actions, calls and emails taken during reconciliation. Madeline referred to this, you know, earlier on the, you know, Get Loud, Take Action page on ccl.org. That's also updated daily. And if you do want to encourage people, you can encourage them to sign up to phone and text bank at cclusa.org/phonebank. We're still doing that, you know, this week, next week, probably we'll just keep going until they're done. And so we are making sure that we're reaching out to constituents in, you know, key districts, key states, making sure that we get more emails and calls to Congress. So do I have a minute for question, Brett?
Madeline says yes.
Okay, great. So we'll go back to poll. Two or 3 minutes. Wow. Okay. So are there questions about the campaign specifically? And so I saw, let me see if I can check out what we got there. So I'll answer that question, but is there a worry that a late addition to the bill would be a problem for Manchin? I can say this. Basically, the Senate's not going to put anything into this bill that Manchin's not going to agree to. They're going to add things into the mix once they feel like they've got all 50 votes on it. So don't worry that this is going to, you know, that adding new things in at the end is going to be a problem. Things that get added in at the end, they're going to have 50 votes in the Senate or they're not going to get added in. I see some questions about, like, will there be a dividend? How will that work? We don't know the details right now, but everything we've heard from everyone in the Senate Finance Committee is that they, you know, They talk about rebates. They talk about keeping people whole. So we're definitely expecting some sort of rebate or dividend or something that is equivalent to that if they're going to include a carbon price. Are you asking our prominent supporters and celebrities to use their social media to call? We are asking you, and you are our prominent supporters. And yes, we are engaging with our the people that we have on Twitter who have big followings. We will reach out. We can definitely reach out to some of our advisory board members and see if they can make Twitter posts as well, or Facebook, or wherever they're engaged. That's a great idea. Thank you.
One big thing in the chat, I think Madeline's probably going to speak to too, is just what we're doing and why calling Republican members of Congress is still important.
Right. So we are calling Republican members of the House. And the reason we're doing that is to ask them to vote yes for the bipartisan infrastructure framework. And the benefit of that is that it promotes bipartisanship. There's a lot of good climate provisions in there. The more Republicans that we have voting for positive climate solutions, even if they're not likely to vote, it's really not in the cards that they would vote for the reconciliation bill, but they can vote for the bipartisan infrastructure framework. And that's good for our country, good for the climate, and good for bipartisanship. Okay, so we'll leave it there. Back to you, Madeline.
Great. Thanks, Tony. And thank you and your team for all the great work putting that together.
Yep.
Amazing to do that from Friday afternoon, having it launched on Monday. One tip I'm going to share that I noticed today is because we cleverly started this campaign in a new month, if you want to see how your chapter is doing with calls, go to the action tracker, to the action dashboard, make sure that your chapter is what's selected, and then take off everything in the reporting that isn't direct, that isn't contacting Congress. And that number is a pretty close approximation of how many calls have been generated, because the calls are reported there. So that's my hot tip for the night. Okay, before I turn this over to Mark, we want to play something for you. And this video is for everybody who has ever thought or said, we should put more attention on the dividend. Brett?
Thank you so much. Enjoy that.
Thank you.
There you go,
honey.
Whoa.
It's mine.
We gotta throw some other stuff in. Honey! We gotta throw some other things in. Here you go. Have a little money. How about that?
Do I have enough money for a Nintendo Switch?
I don't know. Parents too. There you go.
What?
There you go.
Wait, are you serious?
What?
There you go.
They gave you money?
Look how cool that is!
That's fine.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh!
What?
I got money!
A little bit more candy for you.
I got money! Dad!
Okay, if you couldn't see the words with it, you should play it for yourself later. So this is a hidden camera style video, and they surprise trick-or-treaters with a real carbon cashback instead of candy. So some of those lucky kids received $125. That's the amount of a child's dividend instead of candy bars this Halloween at a house in Utah. So that video was arranged by CCL's marketing department, and it was dropped onto our social media on Halloween night. Next week, we are launching a 6-week Instagram carbon cashback giveaway in which every week a contest winner gets an adult dividend of $250. So stay tuned for details when it launches next week, and you'll definitely get details on the group leader call next week with Mark. Speaking of Mark, now a few closing thoughts from our executive director.
Sure, thank you. That video kills me every time. First of all, I just want to thank my coworkers, Madeline, Jen, Tony, Brett, and Bill, for putting this together in short notice, and not only preparing all the material, but delivering it. I also want to remind you that in less than 2 weeks, we will be getting together for our November conference. Right now, there are 2,293 people registered. There's people registered from all 50 states and 18 countries outside of the US. I'm really happy about the program, and I think you're really going to enjoy the conference on Saturday the 13th and Sunday the 14th of November. Last thing I want to say is, you know, if I was part of any other organization, I would be really worried right now. But I'm not worried because I work with you. I mean, 541 of you showed up on a Tuesday night with almost no notice to listen in on this call. I mean, the hundreds of thousands of activities that have happened. I think that in a lot of cases, if you were working with people, you'd be worried that they were paralyzed and that they weren't going to be doing what needed to happen, but not with this group. You know that you're going to be doing exactly what needs to be happening. So thank you so much for that. We'll see you all in a couple of weeks at the conference. Let's keep making this happen. And thanks all of you who presented tonight. Really appreciate it. And all of you are here. Questions you submitted and just taking your time tonight. All right, that's it, everybody. Good night.
Listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.